We're in this series called The Present, looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And today I want to talk about security, and security that we can discover through the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We've been sort of looking at Psalm 46 in this series as well, and that psalm reminds us that the Holy Spirit is an ever-present help in times of trouble. And a couple of weeks ago, Tom looked at the reality of fear, but also the reality of the power of God. And last week, we looked at that verse that says there's a river that flows from the city of God, and how the Holy Spirit brings life, like a river. And I was reminded this week of some more aspects of rivers, that rivers flood, and how often the presence of the Holy Spirit can come like a flood upon us and just overflow into our lives and stops any meandering around, where we become just satiated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. But today I want to talk about this sense of security, that the Holy Spirit is our fortress. Psalm 46 and says to us that the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so I want us to think a little bit about what that looks like, how the Holy Spirit becomes our stronghold that we can trust, becomes a high place on which we can stand, not from a sense of arrogance, but from a sense of certainty, an unassailable place from where we can live effectively as followers of Jesus. I mean, we know our world is looking for security, and perhaps especially during this time of uncertainty, that need for certainty is definitely part of our everyday lives. Of course, people look for security in lots of different ways, and we can try and find security in money or in possessions or in status or in image or in relationships. But for followers of Jesus, security comes from one place, and that is from the God of Jacob, the Lord Almighty. And we can discover it because of what Jesus has done for us, and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, his presence and his power given to all those who choose to follow Jesus today. The Apostle Paul wrote many amazing passages of scripture, but perhaps Romans chapter 8 is maybe even the pinnacle of his writings. If you haven't read it, do grab a Bible or switch on your phone app and have a read of the whole of Romans chapter 8. But I want to just concentrate on verses 14 to 17 this morning. And I think that these few verses give us three reasons why we can know security and how we can find that security for us today. In all the challenges and changes of our lives, in every situation and circumstance you may find yourself in right now, you can know the security of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So here's my three things for you today. Firstly, the Holy Spirit invites you to be part of God's family, to bring you that security of belonging. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." You're part of the family, and that's the security that I want you to know today. You are adopted. The spirit of sonship, the spirit of being part of this family. I mean, this is an incredible privilege that Paul is reminding us about today. He talks about the slavery image, and of course that goes way back into the Old Testament story of the people of Israel when they were taken into slavery in Egypt. But also I think this alludes to the inability of the law to release people from the slavery of sin, that insecurity of uncertainty about your relationship with God. But in this passage Paul says the Spirit invites you to know that you're a child of God. God chooses to adopt you as his child. What we could never do, Jesus did for us, opened the way for us to be part of this amazing family. I mean, if you're honest this morning, if you have got children or your grandchildren or you know other people's children, would you choose to have them as your children? I mean, every day, every moment of the day? I mean, to be honest, some days, yes, of course, but other days, well, it's touch and go, isn't it? But of course, choosing to adopt someone into your family means that you've chosen them. You've made a deliberate decision. You haven't been lumbered with them. You've chosen them to be part of your family. And this is the incredible truth, that God looks at you and he's choosing you. He's making a deliberate decision to have you as part of his family. You're not perfect. He knows that. But of course, those who are led by the Spirit, those who choose to go in the direction of the Spirit, can become part of the family. He adopts you. When Paul wrote this passage, of course, he was thinking of adoption from a Roman perspective. And that adoption from a Roman perspective meant you had full rights of a child. You were adopted for a reason. You were adopted to carry forward the family name and the family business. This is not slavery, it's sonship. This is not fear, it is freedom. The Holy Spirit invites you to be loved and accepted and forgiven and released, to be part of his family, to grow the family likeness. And those who are going in his direction, who are led by the Spirit, are adopted as God's child. What a privilege. Jesus said this to his followers when he was trying to explain to them what the Holy Spirit was like. John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You're going to be part of the family. Jesus promised it, and the Holy Spirit settled it. Now, secondly, I think our security is found in the fact that the Holy Spirit gives us access to the Father. There is security in welcome. Now, today is Father's Day, and I guess many of us have memories of our dads. But one of the things that most of us all know about our dads is that the things that they said to us. And I've got a top 20 list of things that dads say to their kids. I'm not going to read them all out for you today. But here's my favourite ones of what dads say to their kids. Do you think I'm made of money? Have you heard that one? Or maybe, when I was your age. Or perhaps for you, the favourite one was, I'm not going to tell you again. Well, he did, of course. Or, if you were told to jump off a cliff, would you do it? Or, don't tell your mother. Or perhaps you've had this said, you're not going out in that, are you? Or maybe your dad was old enough to say, we were grateful when we had an orange for Christmas. They bring a smile to our face now, the things that dads say, but to be given access to the Father of all fathers, to be given access to God, what a place of security that is for us today. Romans 8, verse 15 and 16. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We've got access to the Father. I mean, this is such a shocking, provocative, revolutionary, subversive, counterintuitive piece of good news for us today. That in our moments of greatest despair, failure, sin, weakness, loss, failure, frustration, inability, helplessness, God the Father meets you right in that place and announces to the world for all to hear and see, Tim, I am your Father. He's proud of it. That's how good a father he is, that he welcomes you into his family. The Holy Spirit gives you access to that relationship. And as we stand before the Father who has adopted us, you get to call him the same name that Jesus used in the dynamic, intimate relationship he had. Abba, Father. I mean, that's an Aramaic word. It's been left in our translation of the Bible, untranslated from that original. And it literally means father, father. It has this relational meaning of dad. It's the delight of a child who runs shouting, dad, dad, dad. A relationship that is not distant, but real and relational. A word that Jesus used as he cried out to his Father in the garden before his arrest and crucifixion. And remember, Jesus taught us to pray our Father. And that had never been done before. No Jew would ever do that, but Jesus gave it to us as a gift. a personal relationship with the same God, and we have access to the Father. When things are going well, we can run to him and show him what we're proud of. When things are clashing and broken, we cry out, Abba, Father. In John chapter 14, verse 20, Jesus says, on that day, on the day when the Holy Spirit comes on you, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. In the same way, you are loved. You've got access to the Father. Jesus promised it, and the Holy Spirit settled it. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit reminds us of our future. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory. See, the natural consequences of being a child, the rights of an adopted child are just the same, that one day what the Father has is yours. And not only that, but what Jesus the Son has, we get to share in. The Holy Spirit reminds us of our future, the inheritance that is still to come. You may know the story in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus told of the son who ran away from his father, who took his inheritance early and went off to spend it. Anybody who took an early inheritance was, in effect, wishing their father was dead. He wanted it now. And the younger son, who was entitled to a third of his inheritance, took that money and went away and spent it. And you may remember in the story that he ended up in a pigsty. But there was a day when he realised he wasn't designed to stay in the pigsty. He was made for home. And that day he started out for home, ready with a speech for his dad to say, I'm going to be your servant, I'll pay it all back. There'll be a day when everything's going to be right again. But of course he never gets to say those words because the father rushes out and puts his arms around him and welcomes him home. There was someone who was angry about that, and that was the elder brother. Because the elder brother works out that if the younger brother's back home and welcomed back as a son, then that diminishes his inheritance for the future. And even though he's invited to the party, he refuses to go in. Paul, in this passage in Romans, is saying that even though you may have been like the younger son and wasted so much, Jesus, the perfect elder brother, is willing to share everything with you. When you come back home, Jesus is there at the party. He wants you to be with him, to enjoy the inheritance that is yours. So the elder brother who hasn't run off, he stayed at home being loyal and consistent and faithful. He sort of missed it really. But the father still loves him and says to him, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. If you've run off and come home, or you've been at home with the Father all the time, or perhaps even now you feel like you're in the pigsty, the Holy Spirit reminds you not of your failure, but of your future. John chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. You've got a future, you have an inheritance, and you can know the security of that promise today. Jesus promised it, and the Holy Spirit settles it. Well, those, I think, are the three pillars of security that build this fortress that we can stand solid and secure on today. But how do you build it? How do you discover this security? Well, I think Psalm 46 and verse 10 gives us the clue. The psalmist writes, be still and know that I am God. Be still and understand the full extent of who I am and what I've done for you and what I can give you. Be still and know that I am the fortress, and that is where the security, your security, can be found today. Be still It's such a rich word in the Hebrew. Sink down, drop your hands, relax, withdraw, let go, refrain from, slacken, cease, be still. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Message, says this of Psalm 46. Attention all, see the marvels of God. He plants flowers and trees all over the earth, bans war from pole to pole, breaks all the weapons across his knee. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. And when you take a good, long look at God, you'll discover the security that he offers you. The security of being part of his family. The security of a relationship, an intimate relationship with God your Father. And the security of an assurance of a future with Jesus. I pray that out of the stillness, you will be able to declare with the psalmist, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is my fortress. Be still and hear the whisper of God today. Step closer and hear what he has to say to you. And I pray you'll find the security that you are searching for, that we can stand on today in the midst of all the circumstances. You'll know that he is God and he is for you and he is with you. And nothing will separate you from his love today or any day. You're part of the family, and he wants you to know that through his Holy Spirit today. Call him by name. He's yours, and you are his. Jesus promised it, and the Holy Spirit settled it. Let's pray. Father God, in this stillness, make yourself known, I pray. Thank you that you call us by name, and we are yours. Whisper your love deep into our heart today. May we be assured, reassured. May we stand firm and trust you. May your fortress not keep us in, but be the place where we can declare this amazing news, so that others too may know your security. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe life into us today. In the name of Jesus. Amen.